Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anthony, good morning to you.
Hey, Kenny.
Greetings and salutations and all that other stuff.
Yep. Big playoff baseball start yesterday. It was awesome.
Mitch is terrified of the Detroit Tigers. That all coming up. Does it make you scared of the Tiger? Does that make you afraid of the Tigers? Because Mitch is afraid of the Tigers.
No, it's always designed for this right now with the setup. Like, you're waiting, other teams are playing, and baseball's all about who's getting hot.
Yeah.
And so by definition, by virtue of whoever wins the series, they're always the hot team coming in, and Detroit's especially hot. So it makes sense.
I don't play either of them. I don't want to play either of them.
We just don't want to play baseball anymore.
Well, there's a lot of pressure on that. I mean, I do want to play the baseball, but I don't want to play the baseball. It's like Saturday will be here, and I'm nervous. And Steven Vogt says he ain't nervous. Maybe more on that coming up in about last night. Rodney McLeod, you can hear that entire interview, 92.3thefan.com. Rodney joins us every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Rodney was with us yesterday. Boy, it sucked. Real quick, it sucked that we could not have any fun with the fumble recovery for a touchdown. You could tell he wanted to move right on past that. I'm like, all right, never mind.
I agree.
No talking about that.
I agree. I mean, we wanted to make the whole show yesterday about that.
Which I haven't for the preview. Yeah, because we didn't want to stare at the elephant in the room. Which I haven't for the preview show tonight. And I'm like, well, yeah, we kind of got to go through the fumble return for a touchdown. And he's not going to want to do it. And I'm going to be like, I'm sorry, buddy. Them's the breaks. 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Like, it's just going to be the way. But he did have something poignant about the leadership structure of the team. And you is this a fear with Stefanski here with you, or is it something different with the leadership getting in people's ears, chewing them out, this, that, the other? Like, he's never been that guy. Like you heard in the audio in the open, I never have accused him of being a guy who chews people's asses out. So, like, what is there a concern? Is there something that needs to be done for you? Or,
well,
what
just,
are you thinking?
It's just funny as fans, because we, right now, fans want an ass kicker. They want somebody who's going to get in the face.
Because they're 1-3.
Of players. Yeah, when they're 1-3.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. Like, what was the prevailing thought when they were going on their run in December last year? That, you know what? It's Kevin Stefanski and his approach. The even-keeled approach is why this team is unfazed by the adversity of losing Conklin, Chubb, Watson. And it's that approach, never get too high, never get too low. That's why Kevin Stefanski and his coaching staff, that's why it works. Well, when you're 1-3, none of that. Nobody wants to hear even. Nobody wants to hear,
and you know,
yeah,
why?
Just kind of stay the course. No, we don't want to stay the course. Now we want guys to be taken by the collar and shake them up a little bit and say, hey, the football season's on the line.
Well, you know why that is, too. Because fans get mad, so they want to yell at him. And for a guy like, it's always an emotional game, but you kind of look at it going, you have to balance it out. Like, it can't be, just because they lost, you can't just go in there and overcoach him and run him into the ground. As much as you might want to, as much as you may be mad to. There, I think, are different ways to do it. But you can't necessarily do that. People don't want to hear that. They want to punish the Browns for losing because they ruined their Sunday and they're mad at them. They want to scream at them. But, I mean, we've had guys. I mean, Mangini was a guy who was a hard ass. There were other guys who have been here that have been cupcakey. But if you're still 1-3, you can just be a really loud, angry 1-3. and then you're playing you out. I think the leadership, no matter what, has to come from within. Like, we see Dan Campbell, and things go pretty well in Detroit right now with Dan Campbell, and he's a tough guy, and I have no doubt he could throw me through a plate glass window. But the leadership in Detroit still, and I think he knows this, has to come from the guys playing. Dan Campbell cannot go out there and make them do it. He can't make them make the plays. It's the same thing that we played for Rodney yesterday with Doug Peterson. It's like, you can only put them in the right spots. It's up to them. It's up to them to do it. You know, we raise limitations here. And that's frustrating. That's frustrating for myself, for a lot of fans,
well,
for everybody.
That's part of what makes this tricky is fans have been told and have agreed, and we have heard it from the moment, really the last, you know, 4 years. Oh, Browns, best roster ever. Best roster ever. We have the best roster. Best roster in Browns history. Man, we're loaded. We're loaded everywhere. No weaknesses. Look at cut day. Oh, my God, other teams want our players. We finally have too many good players. And I think we got a little carried away with that stuff, but because fans remember saying all that stuff, well, it can't be the players. It's got to be the coaches got to coach better.
Yeah.
So we go into this season with this most expensive roster in the NFL, most talented Cleveland Browns roster in Cleveland Browns history. Watson's healthy at some point, you know, got to shake off the rust, but he's healthy. You got to win. You're going to get Nick Chubb back. You're going to get Njoku back.
Yeah.
Like, let's go. Let's go. This is your window. Your window is now. You've got guys in their prime.
Today is Nick Chubb day, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, he's back
big
on
day.
The practice field, which is enormous. It's going to be enormous for this team.
Yeah, it is. You get these guys back. If you don't have that from the very from the locker room, we are just going to find trouble. And again, I'm not going to continue to belabor it, but I can tell you guys right now, I'm going to be paying very close attention to everything that comes out of the locker room, everything that I hear. Everything that we see, because when you're 1-3, then you have to start to point fingers. Okay, well, if we're going to start point fingers, I'm not going to just point fingers and then go, okay, it's not that guy's fault, it's this guy's fault. So I don't want to speak to it, but I have to admit, when they're 1-2 and we're getting ready for the game this last Sunday, and I'm hearing about Rodney's the last one to speak to the defense. Well, Rodney plays, and then I hear Jameis Winston's the last person to speak to everybody, and it's go, well, he's a backup. So I need to find that leadership out of somebody there. Because if we don't, who's that fall on? You find different coaches. You can find other guys there, but you're still going to have guys do it on the field. So that is a major concern. You notice something as well. Roger Goodell was on Good Morning Football, and he has been asked about the kickoff rule. He says tweaks may be already a-coming.
We always said this was going to be a work in progress. I guess if I had to grade it, I'd say it's an incomplete right now. Only in this sense. We wanted to bring back more returns, but we wanted to do it safely. We have more returns. I think we had an 85% increase in returns. That'll give us more data to find out, is it working? Are we seeing the safety level go back to the same safety levels we see at line of scrimmage plays? So far, that looks pretty good, but it's really early to tell, and there's really not enough data yet. I think it's going to come out where we brought the safety back into that play, and then I think we'll have to make a few changes on the kickoff that will, I think, lead to a lot more kickoff returns. I think the
touchback, moving it up a little bit, maybe.
You could do the touchback and move it to the 35. You know, I think that would be a game changer right away.
Yeah.
You've led a war on kicking. Audio again, courtesy of Good Morning Football. You've led a war on kicking. You just want to do away with the whole practice.
I think it's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of everybody's time. I think now they've tinkered with the rule. Not tinkered. They have completely changed the kickoff.
Bastardized, if you will?
Well, whatever
you want. Is that the word you want to use?
Whatever you want to call it, there has been, I think, a collective, who cares, so far with kickoffs. I don't think it's a play worth making sure you're in your seats to watch. He says 85% there's an increase. Well, yeah, because you were at an all-time low last year in returns, so even like two more returns would be like a 50% increase. So those numbers are completely
three more returns is still three more returns. Remember, we're scoring less touchdowns, we're scoring less points. How many chances do you have to kick off? I think that needs to be brought into question as well.
But that's what I mean. It's just has been, it's not been what they intended at all. They thought this was going to make that play so entertaining, and it just flat out hasn't been. I don't think anybody in my house. I went and got snacks during a kickoff. Like, it didn't matter. Like, what was the thing I was missing, and I didn't miss anything. So they've tried to mess with this in a big way. That's been a failure so far. He knows it. That's why they're already talking about moving it to the 35.
Well, so, yeah, I want to make it more punitive. I want the chances for more returns.
Which at that point, when are we giving away too much field position all because of this special teams play where you're messing with the game, the actual game of football? Because the kickoff is not normal football to me.
I think the 35, I mean, there's a reason they don't just kick it out of bounds on a kickoff because you get the ball at the 40. I think at the 35, I mean, because I am surprised the Browns just elect to kick it out of the end zone as many times as they have, considering, you know, the defense, I think, is struggling a little bit here to find their footing. And we're just giving the other team the ball at the 30. And you could say it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter to the guy in the stands. It matters to them. You know, their whole thing is no easy yards, never an easy yard. Like, any chance you get, like, they'll always take the penalty. I'm going to get long on this, so stop me. Like, they'll always take a penalty because it's like, hey, I know he was going to the end zone and that's a horse collar. It's still one more chance to defend. You have no idea what's going to happen on the next play, so it's another chance to defend. And I'm like, I cannot believe, and it's not just the Browns. There's a lot of teams, obviously, where they just throw up their hands and go, fine, we'll give you the ball at the 30. Okay, well, what's the difference? The difference, I think it is, and I thought there'd be a lot more touchdowns. I thought there'd be a lot more returns. But I did bring this up to you in the preseason. They're better football players. So they're going to be better defenders and better returning teams and better kickoff teams than what we have seen in the XFL. Those are special teamers in the XFL. They're good football players. They're not the NFL. So you're going to have, because guys are better and they know their assignments better, they can focus better, you're going to have better coverage on those kickoffs. I don't think to just throw the baby out with the bathwater and get rid of kickoffs altogether. Now, I know that this is a drum you've been beating for a long time. I still think that if you get the ball to the 35, you can still have a return because the whole name of the game is supposed to be entertainment. And play, obviously, can be very entertaining. So I still believe in a kickoff.
But haven't we seen that it isn't entertaining? We've tried it two different ways, and fans are kind of like, "Yeah, you're still not really delivering."
Are you not entertained at all?
If the Browns don't get that illegal formation penalty, I don't remember which game it was. They had a kickoff and they recovered the ball fumble.
Yeah.
I think we're feeling differently in Cleveland this morning.
Because of one team fumbling the ball, like that's the type of entertainment you're looking for. Because yeah, I mean that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
chances for something crazy to happen.
I think
football is supposed to be, it's my ball, not your ball. That's my ball, not your ball.
Which I think is pretty archaic.
Not like, hey, you get the ball two times in a row. That was my issue with onside kicks in the past, that I never wanted to make onside kicks easier.
I wonder if you're down with the forward pass at times if you have that type of thinking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
I just think that thinking of not kicking and not having any chance to...
I just like we're all collectively agreeing that it hasn't really moved the needle. So let's just wait.
It hasn't moved the needle.
Stop wasting our time.
Like, let's not waste time. Let's just
get going and let's play football. I mean, I think
that is football. Kickoff is part of football. It's been that way our entire lives. Yes.
Is it?
So we're just going to give the ball up?
It's a play that people are like
it's
going and getting their beer and they're getting their hot dogs.
Like, well, they got to get their beer and hot dogs at some other point. So if I say, well, I got to get rid of the play where they get their beer and hot dogs. All right, 4th and 20. Well, are we just not going to play 4th and 20 anymore in moments? Well, we'll punt it away. Well, we can't do punts because that's a chance to get their beer and their hot dogs. So what am I taking out of the game so they have time to get their beer and their hot dogs?
I'm just still waiting
Maybe get more beer and more hot dogs so you don't have to get up.
I'm still waiting for somebody to step up and show me where this awesome kickoff has just transcended the game of football.
Well, I can. It hasn't transcended.
Why do we have to fight so hard to keep the kickoff? They're all saying it's the most dangerous play, one of the most dangerous plays in sports. So
if we want to act like we care about the health and safety of the player. Well, they care about the litigation from the player. No.
Well, at least unless
something bad happens, but they don't care. That's why they go to the games. It's entertainment. And this form of kicking, as the commissioner just told you, what the commissioner says now, what we actually find out by the end of the year, trust me, I'm not that silly. But according to him, according to Goodell, not that I believe everything he says, they say it's safer. And they say it's just as safe now, or they feel through the data they got so far, it's just as safe as every down play.
It's totally safe right now because no one's doing anything.
But they said on the kick.
You know what's even safer?
Not kicking off.
Getting rid of the kickoff.
So like, what am I going to replace the kickoff with?
Nothing. Just other team has the ball to
wait,
25.
Wait, so now I'm going to miss offensive plays to get my beer and hot dogs?
I think you'll just stay in your seats and watch football. because that's what we want to do.
So then you can stay in your seat.
What am I going to do when I have to kick off? What am I going to do when I have to go to the bathroom?
Everybody, you could see everybody's agreeing because they're the ones going and getting their stuff during the play.
I disagree. It's not everybody. Two-thirds of the room disagrees with you. Mitch is probably not paying attention, picking out different Tigers hats.
That people are locked in their seat on kickoffs? Because they're clearly not.
Oh, I'm locked in my seat during kickoffs.
Are you?
Yeah.
I think it's when you go get beer.
Hell,
that's when
yeah.
you go do stuff.
No, I go to the bathroom right next to my office during commercial breaks.
What a setup.
Thank you very much. Thanks to Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Boom. How you like that? Do you agree with Anthony?
Because what
that
they're
we need to get rid of kickoffs.
Because what they're going to do is they're just going to keep moving the field position until teams actually kick it off. And then I'll ask the question that I've always worried about is, are you gimmicking up the game of football too much just to make this play entertaining? And then it's not really football.
Well, it's still football. They're still making a football play. All right, 216-474-0092. Do you agree with Anthony that we should just get rid of kickoffs? Roger Goodell saying that while it's better, but that we still need to tweak it. And Lima's dire to the tweaks. He wants to get rid of it.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, the AL Central, your number one division in all of baseball this year, at least judging by yesterday. I think you'd have to say. What a day. What a banner day. Did you find yourself Kenny Channing?
No,
for the AL Central, SEC fans.
No chanting. There was no chanting going on. Boy, that really threw me off there, didn't it? I thought you were just going to go, Ken, did you find yourself watching the game? I was like, yeah. Oh, no, I wasn't chanting anything.
We had it on. I was a little late. I had it on 3 yesterday. And then you had, you know, kind of the way the games were staggered. It was perfect. It was awesome to just have a full day of baseball. I know there was one thing in particular Kenny was not happy about. In the very first game of the day between Detroit and Houston. Meanwhile, we'll get to that in a second. Detroit, victorious, setting the tone very early, and this had Mitch panicked. He was a panicky Pete. As the Tigers have been the hottest team in baseball, they jumped out to that 3-0 lead. It looked a little shaky for their bullpen once Skubal handed it over. And next thing you know, the Astros had some traffic on the bases, but the Tigers were able to handle the threat. They win it 3-1, and now they are on the brink of moving on. Kansas City, 1-0, blanking the Baltimore Orioles. Did that surprise you, Kay, to see the teams in the Guardians division have this incredible...
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Playoff
start. A little bit, yeah, especially with the Tigers going on the road and getting the win on the road there against Skubal was great. But for them to go down there where it's just a weird atmosphere, I don't know. I don't think Houston's a great sports town, but, you know, they act like it during those games. So it was.
They are a bigger Astros city than they get credit for.
Yeah, fair enough, I guess.
And it helps that you've been to the
ALCS. They've been good for a decade.
Yeah, that too.
And they just haven't been kind of good. They've been extraordinarily.
Right. I got upset because I saw someone praying in the stands in the 9th inning.
Praying? Yeah.
I go, that's enough.
There were also two
professional sports.
Yeah, 2 other games.
Was it Joel Osteen?
The Mets. Look at the Mets. Remember they got off to that poor start at the beginning of the year? And everybody was panicking. And Francisco Lindor, oh my God, what has happened? They're up 1-0 on Milwaukee. And the Padres, 4-0 over Atlanta. So we have day one in the books. Meanwhile, the Guardians.
Do you find yourself rooting for the Padres?
The Padres? Now, why the Padres?
No, I said that to you last week, and you're like, why? I was like, well, they're a one-sport town.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a small town. You're like, I don't care. Why do I care? I was like, all right, never mind.
Well, they're taking on the Braves. We have a boss here.
Oh, yeah, Keith's a Braves fan. He's a Braves fan.
So I got to watch what I say about that.
Say exactly what you want to say about the Braves.
Oh, I can't. I get worried about
it. Say they should change their name.
You know how
start
I feel
that.
About that. That's been a long-standing discussion during the breaks on this show. 100 straight days we've talked about that. So
100 days, 100 Braves.
Stephen Vogt has had to watch all this. They're doing their simulated games back here in Cleveland, but guys are fired up and, you know, no anxiety here. They are ready to roll.
I don't think there's any anxiety. There's just excitement. This is going to be a blast. We have an opportunity to make a run at a World Series. It's what we've talked about since day one of spring training. Our guys have been working for this. We've been built for this, and we feel really good about where we are. And so I'd say it's more excitement than anything else.
Do you just have a gut feeling, Kenny, on having to wait? Watching all this stuff, having to wait. We wanted to buy
so
bad.
The late, great Tom Petty said it was the hardest part.
It is. Doesn't it kind of seem brutal? Waiting, yeah. It's like, it's a good thing. We got the bye. Can't be eliminated if you don't play. So you're in the ALDS. We've got the times, too, right? Yesterday?
I believe so.
9:15 last night, they sent the time, so we know when we're...
It is 1 o'clock on Saturday.
1 o'clock on Saturday, then they're off on Sunday, and then on Monday, looks like it's going to be a 4:08 first pitch in Cleveland.
And I will hold them to that 08.
Oh, you better. Yeah, no messing around.
Well, the Yankees are at 6:38. They're not at the 8:38 time. That's surprising.
Yeah.
Pointing that out.
Mitch has got to carve out some time. Meanwhile,
it's a full day of baseball for Mitch.
I'll be here in the studio doing the Guardians postgame show.
Here you go.
Boom. Along with Jake Volnick.
Boom.
Good. That's good. We will continue to make sure.
Are you going
to
be on the air?
Are you going to be doing the Yankees postgame show?
No, it's all off air.
That'll be a podcast. I'm saying, is he working or are
finally
you
finally an opportunity?
Are you hosting the Guardians postgame show?
Yeah, Jake and I are co-hosting the Guardians postgame show.
It's going to make you come down.
Pitch. Mitch is in the north bathroom.
Yes.
Jake is in the south bathroom.
It's tough to hear. Communication's going to be a premium.
The Yankees just always find a way to involve themselves in everything with baseball. It bothers me to my very core. Like, Michael Kay is not bad, but I turned on the TV yesterday, and Michael Kay is doing the play-by-play, and I'm like, damn it, guys, I'm sick and tired of it. And even our own coverage of Guardians baseball, we got a Yankee fan on the air. That's excellent.
Half-ass.
Are you going to be wearing the Yankees hat? We'll get to that later. Meanwhile, a lot of speculation. What are the Guardians going to do with that rotation? Looks like spots one, spots two, we just went over those games, are solidified with Bybee and Boyd. But what happens in game three? Here's Mandy Bell on the Afternoon Drive Show.
I think right now a lot of it depends on Alex Cobb because they really do seem to be trying to get him back in time. And Vogt was very specific when he said that they're trying to get him to start. Now, he doesn't have too much time to build up that pitch count. His sim game that was on Sunday was 30-some pitches, which isn't a lot. So if you would have him then pitch again on Friday, that would then line him up for game three, if that's what they're shooting for. So maybe that is part of the plan and you just have him open or just see what he can handle. And I don't know if the plan for that game three of having Cobb open would be to have Gavin Williams then come out and handle some of the innings after that, like they were going to try on Sunday before the rain got in the way.
So the simulated game is going to be obviously a big deal for them and trying to figure this out. It does mean that, man, those first two games are going to be very, very crucial. That they get, not only that they get those leads, the bullpen does exactly what they're supposed to be. You have normal games, don't have like a 15-inning marathon, because that game three right now very much in the air and could dictate the rest of the series. I mean, it really could.
Got to watch his fingies. Is that what the whole problem is his fingers and the blisters?
Blisters, man. You got to get them built up.
Got to build that callus.
When she said Gavin Williams, how comfortable are you right now?
Okay, I'm actually, for whatever reason, kind of comfortable. Even though he's had a shortened, because of injury, up and down season.
Yeah, he had almost a month ago, he had that Dodgers game where he got shelled immediately and couldn't make it through the first inning. And then after that, he settled down a little bit, gave up 3 earned runs against the Rays, 2 against Minnesota, went 5 2/3, finished on a high note against St. Louis.
Well, he might be this long reliever platoon type of thing now. And she did go into that not having him pitch on Sunday really kind of changes how they were thinking using him going forward. But, I mean, maybe it's an Alex Cobb, Gavin Williams co-produced game. Right,
right. You seriously wonder, and again, a lot of it has to do, too, what happens in those first two games? How much do you have to go into your bullpen, you know, on those days? Obviously, well, it's just a good thing you're staggered.
You get a day off after game one and a day off after game two.
So, man, think about the advantage of that. I mean, that first game, if you can get – when you get to the bullpen, I mean, you could feasibly rely on Class A to go two innings. I mean, if you need to, right?
As a bullpen game, I think that's fantastic.
Well, I'm just saying your first game, if they just can get to a lead. I mean, we know their record with a lead is like the best in baseball.
Still, how often have we seen them go two innings? We've seen it once this year, I think, where it was an extra inning game. They brought him back out for the 10th. But, you know, Vogt does use him in the 9th, even if they don't have the lead.
Yes.
And goes, hey, well, at Kate least Smith. Don't let them extend anything on us.
I mean, Kate Smith's another one. Could he go two innings?
Gattis has been pretty good out of his role. They've got four guys in the bullpen that if we can get it to the 6th, you feel pretty good.
But there's going to be a lot riding on that.
A lot of confidence in all those.
That simulated game. That's it for about last night.
Outstanding as always. Do you have to root for the Ravens in that case? Just to make sure the Bengals are put away in the division? Like, I know we got to worry about ourselves, and we will here in a second. But do you kind of hope that that happens?
Ooh.
Yes?
You know what?
Yes.
I hadn't thought about that because you're right. The Bengals at 1-4.
Yeah. Oof. Like, I picked the Ravens to win the division, so it's not like I'm... Okay, they'd be 3-2, I think, at that point. So they'd be on their way back. But for the Bengals, you got the Jamar Chase situation. You have the T. Higgins situation. All right, what's going on with Joe Burrow? What's going on with Zach Taylor? If my team's going to be in turmoil, I want the Bengals to be in turmoil if there's a chance, certainly. So go right on ahead. I got to pull for the Bengals in this case coming up on Sunday. And we will talk to Mo Egger and Bob Haney and Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, coming up at 8 o'clock this morning during Around the AFC North. So you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. So does that make you root against Baker Mayfield? We avoided it like the plague on Monday. People were like, I can't believe how many calls did you get? Like my out-of-town friends, how many calls did you get on Joe Flacco and Baker Mayfield? I'm like one, and it wasn't even that bad. Do you end up rooting against Baker Mayfield because you know you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt? Like, if he's on a good football team, he's played well. Out of the four games that they've played, he's played really well in three of them. Which one do you do? Because, like, I'd love to say, well, I keep my head up high. I do think there's a lot of revisionist history. I know Dan Orlovsky was called out on that on social media. Andrew Hawkins has noticed, like, hey, man, there are a lot of people who said that Baker was trash 3 years ago who are all of a sudden saying, well, I can't believe the Browns gave up on Baker Mayfield. And I have often wondered, because no one wants to believe me. And he's the owner of the team, so you can go ahead and blame the owner of the team because he's the owner of the team and that's where the buck stops. But I will say it till my dying day. They really, really liked, the family really, really liked Baker Mayfield and wanted it to work out with Baker Mayfield, and they had to be sold on ideas to move away from him. And I do believe thoroughly that if Baker Mayfield would not have tried to make that tackle that day and didn't break his shoulder, I think Baker Mayfield would probably still be here. Well, I think he'd still be here.
Yeah, it's an all-time what if. The reality is there's never going to be nuance. There's never going to be nuance when we are talking about the most important position in sports, and we're talking about, you know, in the NFL, fans follow every team. They pay attention to every team, and the Browns going to make the Watson deal, this was going to be the consequence of that, was everybody was going to be rooting against you in every way. Your team was going to instantly become unlikable to the masses. Now, our fans, they waffle from day to day whether they care about whether people love us or whether they hate us. Sometimes they use it as a chip on the shoulder. Sometimes they get really frustrated with it.
Well, we did get used to the idea of not being good and have people having pity, which I hate pity, but a lot of people kind of got used to that
idea. And that pity turned into, after the victory fridges, like the rest of the national people are like, hey, it's fun. The Browns are lovable again.
Yeah.
Hey, this is great. What a fun story. We're going to pick them as the sleeper. And then 2019 happened. And we remember the rest is history there.
Yeah. But it's got rough where it's one thing to not be good. It's another thing to not be good and have a lot of people like reveling in you not being good.
Which is what's happening now. And if Baker Mayfield continues to play good and they win their division and he goes on a playoff run and wins another playoff game or two, or dare I say somehow gets to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to hear about you deciding to go in a different direction and then going and getting the guy you got, which so far it has not been good. And I've seen the numbers since he's been a Cleveland Brown. It's some of the worst in the league. We'll say it was much better on Sunday, and I've noticed
he was better on
people
Sunday.
That are looking at it. It went from theory, right? I mean, me and you know what we saw, but it went from theory with a lot of fans to I saw somebody at Spot Track said, just watch the film. Like,
yeah,
Deshaun looked like Deshaun on Sunday.
Yeah, he looked
now,
good.
No one's going to want to hear that because you lost the game, and on the last play, he did something that
I got something to say again at 7 o'clock that you wanted me to reiterate that people are going to have to understand coming up at 7, too. But go ahead.
But you're right. Like, it's going to be really annoying. You're going to have to hear everybody, again, make fun of you because of the circumstances that we're in, which is you look like a team that is destined to have a terrible year so far through four games. You do. And Tampa Bay looks like they are riding high and looking like one of the most fun teams in the league. Sucks.
So do you pull against him because you don't want to deal with that?
I thought about that. And this is just petty fan stuff. Nothing personal with Baker. I mean, I only had a few run-ins with him when it was here. I know other people didn't exactly enjoy some of their run-ins with him media-wise. I know there are people in town, business-wise, loved Baker. Thought he was awesome. Thought he was man of the people and stepped up and the tips were great and just was a great guy to be around. So personal, people are going to have their experiences.
You can't underrate a good tipper because they always remember a bad tipper.
They do. So, yeah, if I'm talking about the Browns getting the pub we want them to get, I mean, we just have to play better. But, yeah, this is not fun. This is not fun right now having Baker get all of these accolades and we're sitting here wondering what we're going to do with this contract. Sucks.
It does. But it doesn't make me, it just seems to be even pettier than it is. Like there are people out there who believe like the media ran him out of town. Well, the media does not have that much power. And if we had that much power, I'd be doing something else. That's not what it is. I have to focus on the Browns. And for better or for worse, the Browns have made their decision. I mean, I stay steadfast in that 2021 season that if my future hinged on Baker Mayfield, I'd have been very nervous. And I agreed with Andrew Perry on being very nervous and everybody else on that level and wanting to make a move. Now, I did not want to make the move for the current quarterback. I was on record then. I'm on record now. However, the move was made to be in a much better situation. And it hasn't worked out that way. But Baker Mayfield and his success, I'm more interested in just the curiosity of it rather than being mad. I can't see him being a Super Bowl champion. Now, you can record that, and we'll see what happens. But I can't see him being a Super Bowl champion. It's always been Baker can really spin it, he can throw really good balls, and he can do all those things. But if you get a 6'3 defensive lineman right out the A-gap coming in his face, it's going to be a very big problem for him. And it was that way in Cleveland, and I think it could be that way in Tampa Bay. And I watch the way this offense works in Tampa Bay, and they're able to get the ball out quick. It goes left. It goes right. I don't think it goes across the middle as much. And I think that they're able to really work down the field. And because they have good weapons and because they have a good offensive line and because he's healthy and can throw the ball well, they're able to move the ball down the field. I mean, they picked apart. They made it look easy in the first half before they could even get their bearings with Philadelphia. I mean, they made it look easy before all that. So I can't. I'm not going to say, oh, I wish him well and all this other stuff. No. I mean, it's tough to deal with. But I can't say, oh, I root against him. I think that'd be very petty. Then it would be personal to the thought of, well, do you think you got him ran out of town? Do you think that? No, that's not it. And plus, I barely knew the guy whatsoever. I had very little interaction with him during his time here in Cleveland. So I can't put it that way. With Joe's kind of a different story. We had interaction with Joe. And for a short period of time, a lot of interaction with Joe. Mm-hmm. Like Joe. And if Anthony Richardson's going to keep getting hurt, which it seems to be his M.O., it's like, all right, let's see what Joe can do. Even though I'm not necessarily the biggest Jim Irsay fan in the world, let's see what Joe can do.
I just, quick side note, I have to laugh. People are like, why aren't you making a bigger deal of the Browns letting Joe Flacco go? It's like, your plan of attack was really to have behind a quarterback we didn't know if his arm was going to be ready to start the season, a 39-year-old quarterback. On what planet do you think that made sense?
I made a big deal about it 11 months ago. Or 10 months ago, we said this wasn't going to stay.
Flacco came in and played well for three quarters.
Yeah.
Yes, nobody denies that he can do that for three quarters. We didn't know if our quarterback was going to be able to throw the ball further than 30 yards down the field because he didn't do anything in training camp.
I'll make a deal of it now, but I'm not going to make a big deal of it considering I made a big deal of it 10 months ago when I said I had to be the bearer of bad news for everybody that they weren't bringing him back. They weren't bringing him back. And I could see the logic in it. I might not want to agree with it because of the wins-losses thing, but I could see the logic in what they did, and I knew and accepted that they weren't going to bring him back.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.